We seen last week how maybe some mistakes were made on Elimelech's part. There was a famine in the land, famine in Judah, famine in Bethlehem. Elimelech took his wife, Naomi, and they moved over to Moab. First, they were just going to stay there temporarily. They ended up bedding down. She was there for 10 years. Their mistakes resulting in the death of Elimelech and the death of their two sons. Their two sons' wives left with Elimelech's widow, Naomi. Naomi heard that there was, you know, God, the economy was picking up back in Bethlehem. So let's go back. Giving the option to Orpah and Ruth, you know, you can stay here with your people. You don't have to come with me. Orpah accepted, you know, her offer, kissed her, the Bible says, and left her. Ruth, the Bible says, clung to her. Then she made that startling, remarkable statement of commitment and loyalty and devotion. She said, I'm going with you. Stop asking me not to go with you, to stay here. For your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Your land, your place will be my place till I die. Remarkable willingness, really, to place herself in God's hands. Say, Lord, whatever you have for me, I accept. Chapter 2 picks up where after they commuted back, came back to Bethlehem, the Bible says that they were penniless. They had no money. And Ruth, we find in chapter 2, in the field gleaning. But I'm going to read a portion beginning with verse 8, chapter 2. Then Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close to your young women, to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So she fell on her face and bowed down to the ground and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and have come to a people whom you do not know, who you did not know before. And then in verse 12, the Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Again, let's pray. Lord, as we continue through your word, continue through the book of Ruth, Lord, we ask that you'd open our eyes, our spiritual heart and eyes and ears, that you speak to us, Lord, and we would respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Having settled back in Bethlehem, Ruth asks Naomi, you know, I can go out and glean. We don't have a job. There's no men here to take care of us. So, you know, she really puts herself in a position. She humbles herself. She willingly goes out to the field and gleans. Now, gleaning was a provision made by God in the law. Pastor Chuck calls it the welfare system for the poor. And when the, you know, the harvesters, the reapers would harvest the field, they were instructed not to, you know, take it all. Leave some. Leave some wheat and barley and corn on the stalks for the poor people. They would come after and, you know, give them something to eat. Well, Naomi, we find in chapter 2, we find her Ruth, getting Naomi's consent. We find her in the field. What's interesting is in verse 3, chapter 2, the Bible says, "Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech." Just so happened. I love this one. Just so happed, I think it says in the King James, by divine coincidence. Right away we see God's hand guiding Ruth. The next scene, the Bible tells us Boaz arrives in the field. Noticing Ruth, he says, "Hey, who's the new girl?" To the head servant. He fills him in, says, "Well, that's Ruth. You know, she's the one that came back. She's the Moabitess. She came back with Naomi," explaining the background. Boaz was familiar with it. Boaz went up to Ruth and said, "Ruth," gives her some advice. He tells her, really, stay in the field. Beginning with verse 9, let your eyes be on the field. Stay in this field. Don't glean in another. Verse 8, I'm sorry. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink. He offers protection for her, taking a liking for her right away. Comes up to her and says, "You know, stay in this field. Let me give you some advice. Don't go to another field. Keep your eyes on this field. Stay close to the reapers." He said, "Hey, I already spoke to the young men. They're not going to mess with you. You know, they're all under his authority." And he said, "You know, whenever you're thirsty, help yourself to the water." Later on in the passage, the Bible says that he invited her to join in with the meal, already welcoming her to be a part of the company. He right away offers protection for her. In verse 10, she questions him, "Why me? Why have I found favor in your sight? I'm a foreigner. I'm a Gentile. Why are you treating me so special?" He responds in verse 11. He states that, "You know, it's been fully reported. I know all about you, Ruth. What you've done, how you left your people, how you've came with Naomi." In verse 12, "And the Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wing you have come for refuge." So as she asks, "Why me? Why the grace? You know, why are you treating me so special?" He says, really, his answer was, "Because you've placed yourself under his care. You came to the right source of refuge, and you're going to reap from the Lord." He keeps track of everything. He keeps track of all your work. He knows exactly what you've done with Naomi. He knows your faith. He'll repay you. Boaz later instructs his servants. He tells them, "Hey, just leave a little extra. Drop some handfuls on purpose. And if she wanders off ahead of the reapers and gets into the fields that haven't been gleaned yet, let her head. Don't bother." So he really puts the word out to bless her. He protects her, and then he makes provision for her. Really, on purpose, blessing her. The Bible tells us at the end of chapter 2, when she returns to Naomi, she explains what took place. The Bible says in verse 20, "Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, 'Blessed be the Lord, praise God, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead.' And Naomi said to her, 'This is a relation of ours, one of our closest relatives.'" She goes on to explain that Boaz is one of their nearest kinsmen. Kinsmen redeemers. The Bible tells us, you know, much about redeeming and the goel in the Hebrew. This kinsman really just means next to kin. In the Hebrew, goel, we get our word redeemer from it. He's one in line. The Bible tells us that, you know, there was an obligation to the kinsman redeemer. It was really threefold. One, he was to be an avenger of blood. That doesn't apply here. Two, he was to buy back his closest relative's property. Now, in the law, it was an obligation, but it was a right of responsibility. It wasn't mandatory. You had a choice, but if you had the wherewithal, you were to, you know, step up. And we read where Elimelech, before he moved to Moab, sold his property. Now, that's why when Naomi came back, she had nothing. No property, she was penniless. Naomi, remember, she was so discouraged in chapter 1. Oh, she renamed herself from Naomi, which meant pleasant. When she seen the women of the city, they were glad to see her. She said, I'm not Naomi anymore, call me Mara, for the Lord's hand's been heavy upon me. Been through some bitter trials. Now she's uplifted. Praise the Lord. I see God's hand. He's blessing us. It just so happened you ended up in Boaz's field. That's our kinsman, one of our kinsmen, redeemers. He can help us. It's God's plan that he would help us if he chose to. The obligation of buying back the property of the relative of the kinsman redeemer. Also, to marry your brother's widow or your next of kin's widow to raise up a son to continue the family line. God's provision for really family, that wealth would be continued in the family, that wealth wouldn't change hands. You know, the capitalism wouldn't get out of hand. And that the fields would be returned to the family line at the year of Jubilee automatically. But before the year of Jubilee, you know, to be purchased here, they would be, can be. Oh, Naomi, praise the Lord. Maybe, you know, Boaz will restore our property. She's praising the Lord. We, you know, obviously, in order to redeem the property, you had to have the wherewithal. You had to have the resource. Chapter 3, verse 1 tells us that, verse 2, verse 1, that Boaz was a wealthy man. He had the wherewithal. He owned the field. He could do this. Naomi's praising the Lord. So, Naomi gives Ruth some, you know, instruction, some advice. Just stay in the field till the end of the harvest. Just continue to glean. God's blessing us. He's providing for us. At the end of the harvest, Naomi, trying to, the Bible says in verse 1, chapter 3, set up Ruth's security. You know, you lost my son as a husband. I'd like to look ahead. Well, I want to do all I can to arrange to set you up in your future. Do this. So she instructs Ruth. Now it's at the end of the harvest time. The Bible tells us Boaz was in the field winnowing the wheat, the barley. Winnowing was you'd take your stalk, throw it up in the air, taking advantage of the evening winds. The wind would blow away the chaff. And just the kernel, the grain would fall to the ground. So he's processing his harvest. But he's there, the Bible says, during that time, the end of the harvest, they slept there. They protected their harvest in case someone wanted to rip it off or something. Naomi knew Boaz was there in the field, it being the end of the harvest. So he told Ruth, do this. Prepare yourself. Wash yourself. Anoint yourself. Put some perfume on. Put your best set of clothes on, your best dress. Then slip in to the field. Don't be detected. Go incognito. Find the place. Keep your eyes on. Watch Boaz after he lays down to go to sleep. And go undetected. Go to his feet. lift up his covers off his feet and lay down by his feet, and he'll tell you what to do. What he was doing, that's not some kind of weird, you know, solicitation or illicit thing she was doing. It was actually, she was trying to set up her marriage. Because he was one in line to be a kinsman redeemer, and he would tell her what to do. So she does, and sure enough, Boaz wakes up at midnight, the Bible says, startled. Someone's at his feet. And we pick up verse 9. And he said, "Who are you?" So she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." What she's saying is, "Will you be my redeemer? Will you be my kinsman? Will you marry me? Will you purchase our property back? Will you help us?" He says, "Oh, you're a good girl." He loved her. You know, he didn't go after the young men. You've been faithful. You've been loyal to Naomi. He commends her. And then in verse 12, he says, "Now it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night. And in the morning it shall be that he will perform the duty of a close relative for you. And if he does, good. Let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down till the morning. I'm going to take care of it." He guarantees her redemption one way or another. Either the closest, nearest of kin is going to take care of it. I'll see to it. Or I'm going to. As the Lord, I swear to God, I'm going to redeem you, Ruth. One way or another. The Bible tells us, in the next chapter, first thing in the morning, he goes to the gate of the city. Took a seat among the elders where the official business was to take place. He was handling the legalities. He's going to take care of business. So he's there. And then the nearest of kin showed up, the closest relative. So he told the elders of the city, "Hey, take note. You know, this is a swearing them in. This is official." Then he approached him. He says, "Listen, you know, Naomi came back from Moab. And, you know, Elimelech died, Kilron. Her property needs to be purchased. Will you redeem it?" "Yes, I will," he said. I said, "Oh, by the way, along with the property comes this Moabitess woman. You have to marry her." "Oh, I can't do that. My wife would kill me." He didn't say that, but he said, "It would ruin my affairs. I can't take on another woman." So he declines. "I can't do it." See, Boaz is like, yes! He's next in line. He loves Ruth. He wants to redeem her. The last of the chapter is, if he marries Ruth, then they bear a son, the Bible says. And name him Obed. And Obed has Jesse, and Jesse, David. They become the great grandparents of King David. Their son, the grandfather of King David. What a wonderful story. Wonderful love story. Beautiful romance. Boaz. Interesting. You know, he walks on, in chapter 2, he walks on the pages of print. He's mentioned 20 times in 3 chapters. His name means standing in his strength. He identifies, as a matter of fact, later on when Solomon built the temple, he named one of the pillars, Boaz. Standing in his strength. He exemplified. He was a type for Christ, a redeemer. He loved Ruth. Ruth, in the story, becomes a type for the church, for the Christian. The Christian seeking help, seeking redemption, seeking restoration. such a neat love story. He being a type of Christ, the Goel, the kinsman, he had the right to redeem her, next in line, as a type of Christ. Jesus becoming a man. The Bible says that God becoming flesh. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He, having the right by law, becoming a man, becoming our kinsman redeemer, becoming a man. The Bible, over and over, sharing this picture of redemption, because it's the big theological picture that God does in our life. He's redeemed us. He saved us. He purchased us out of slavery. He had the right to do it, becoming a man, becoming flesh, taking on the incarnation, taking on human flesh. He had the resolve or the determination. Boaz had a choice. He didn't have to. Jesus, the Bible says, his love for us is so great. He doesn't decline anyone that comes to him. He'll save to the uttermost or the guttermost anyone who comes to him. His love driving him to redeem us. See, he has the determination. You know, the Bible tells us of his love. In the picture of the story, you know, his hand guiding her into the right field. How God, on purpose, led her and guided her, demonstrating his love. The Bible tells us in Ephesians, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love toward us, even when we were dead in sin, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. His love, his great love. I was holding Angelina the other day on my lap on the couch, you know, and I remember this song way back when I was a teenager. I don't know if you remember that song. I am stuck on Band-Aids, because Band-Aids stuck on me. Some of the older people. Well, I'm sitting there with Angelina, and I start singing to her, you know. She's starting to fuss. She wants to wiggle out of my lap. So I start, I am stuck on Grandpa, because Grandpa's stuck on me. Yeah, I'm not letting her away, because I love her. Then I start singing, you know, hey, I am stuck on Jesus, because Jesus stuck on me. His love. The Bible tells us, you know, that it defines his love. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent forth his Son to be a propitiation for us. He loves us. He demonstrated his love by nailing himself to the cross. That's love. The Bible tells us that he reaches out and initiates our response. He engages us. To believe, to receive, to respond to him. This is love. It was his choice. Boaz, so in love with Ruth. Jesus, so in love with the church. Demonstrating his care. Protecting her. Providing for her. His hand upon her life. Another clause was you had to have the wherewithal. Boaz, a wealthy man. He had, you know, what was needed. He had the resources to purchase the property. He had the resources to raise a child, to take care of Naomi and Ruth, to restore to them Jesus. Jesus having the resources, not only to love, to be not only the right to be our kinsman redeemer, becoming flesh, but the love, the determination, the resolve. Yes, I want you. And then he had the wherewithal, of course. He's rich in mercy, the Bible says. The Bible tells us that it's according, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. I like when Boaz says, you know, I guarantee your redemption as the Lord lives. The assurance, the promise that he gives. Ruth or a type for the Christian. You know, I guarantee I'm going to come back and save you. I'm going to redeem you. You know, the Bible tells us that when we accept Christ, our spirit is redeemed, born again. Gives us new life spiritually. But the redemption of our body is yet future. The Bible says that all of creation groans and labors together until now. Groaning out until the redemption of the sons of God. Until the redemption of the complete redemption. I guarantee I'll redeem you as the Lord lives. He handles the legalities. You know, it's interesting in the book of Romans, the Bible tells us, kind of like to the Gentile, you're justified by faith. He breaks it down. You see, legally, you're saved. Your sin, your debt has been forgiven because you've accepted Christ. Legally, the legalities. In Hebrews, really addresses the Jew. He handles the legalities. He says, you know, he offered himself once to purge sin. He is speaking in terms of sacrifice to the Jew because they relied upon their sacrificial system, deals with legalities. No more will a sacrifice have to take place, for he offered himself. He was the offerer and the offering, a lamb without spot or blemish. Then in Revelation 4, he gives the big picture of redemption. In chapter 4, the Bible tells us in the presence of the elders. He says that, you know, the Bible gives the scene where God has a scroll in his hand. He said, who is worthy to loose the seals of the scroll? No one is worthy in all of heaven. There's a silence for 30 minutes. John starts to sob. Why? Oh my God. There won't be redemption. There's no one that can redeem us. But then, following the 30-minute lapse, don't worry. The lion from the tribe of Judah, the lamb that was slain, he's worthy to redeem us. He steps up, takes the scroll, which is, most believe, Newell believes it's the title deed of the earth. He's purchasing the earth back. He's taking it as he looses the seals, judgment coming upon the earth before, during the Great Tribulation, before his physical return to earth to redeem the earth. He takes care of the legalities, even in the big picture. The Bible tells us Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Our part, as Ruth lay at his feet. You know, it's humbling. To ask him to take care of us, but necessary. Lay at his feet. He'll tell you what to do. You're sincere. You place yourself under his wing. He'll provide, he'll protect, he'll care. Our part. Keep your eyes on this field. Stay in the pasture. Stay close. You don't want to go to another field. You get in trouble in another field. Another source, dabbling, other idols. Stay in this field. Lay at his feet. Appeal for his redemption. Seek the covering of his wing. Then Naomi, when Ruth came back, following, you know, laying at his feet, Ruth said, rest, my child, for he won't rest until the work's complete. See, our final thing we need to do is rest. He's going to bring it to pass. You know, he'll take care of it. And he did. He was first thing in the morning. He handled the legalities. And Jesus will redeem our bodies. One day standing before him, we're going to be like him, the Bible says. Without sin and a new body. Let's stand. Our Redeemer lives. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you offer protection and provision and assurance that you're going to handle this, that you're going to bring it to pass, you're going to complete this redemption of our bodies. And Lord, help us rest, to stay still, to trust you, to submit ourselves under you, to lay at your feet, ask you what to do. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this love story. We ask, Lord, that we would get it. We would respond. And you would, we would trust and open our heart to you. And you would manifest yourself. Bring your plan, your hand to pass. Why we're here. The plan you made for our life, Lord. Let us experience as Naomi did. Praise the Lord. Lord, we do ask that you seal your word in our heart, that it might bring fruit according to your plan. In Jesus' name, amen.